Thank you for being here today. And Happy New Year to each of you. It's hard to believe that another year has passed and we are looking at a new year ahead of us. And as I was preparing this message, I was thinking back to a few months ago. I really don't remember if it was in September, October, sometime in that time frame, I began thinking about 2022 and what I would preach to you from God's Word. And I was praying for God to lead me in a theme for the whole year. And the words, "Follow me," came to mind. And over the next few times that I would pray and seek the Lord concerning that same request, those two words kept coming back to me. They would not leave my mind. And I was thinking, I feel like this is where God is leading us for this new year to come. I want to challenge you and challenge me to follow Jesus. I want to encourage you, and for me as well, to deepen our level of discipleship. I asked Mallory to come up with a theme banner for the year, and she gave me several options to choose from, and this is the one that I chose, and I appreciate her work on this. I hope together in this new year to come that we can grow in our commitment to Him. He is calling for us to follow Him. And I'm mindful of His call to His disciples in those early chapters of the Gospels. I'd like to look at those callings for just a moment. First, from Matthew's account, if you have your Bibles, you may want to turn there in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and He called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. Now, as you read that passage of Scripture, there are some points that just seem to be very obvious to us. And yet, I think they are worth highlighting. First, Jesus called these men to a commitment. And it's not like they didn't have anything going in their life. It's not like they didn't have anything else to do. These men were fishermen. They were having a family business. They were busy. They had possessions such as boats and nets. They had a living to make, and yet Jesus called them to follow Him. And there's something else from the text that is quite obvious as well. It says that they dropped everything and followed Him. Verse 20 says, immediately they left their nets and followed Him. Verse 22 says, immediately they left their boats and their father and followed Him. Jesus called for a commitment, and they were willing to give a commitment. Now, sometimes as you read a parallel gospel, you may get some details from one gospel that you don't get from another gospel. And such is the case with Luke's account of this same calling. But instead of us reading Luke's account, I want to show you a video clip from The Chosen, as it's based from the details from Luke's gospel. So watch this video, please.
Put that down for a catch. A little farther out.
I don't have a quarrel with you, teacher. Oh, we've been doing this all night. Nothing. All right. At your word.
Messiah today. The man all of us, including you, have been praying for our whole life. My brother and the baptizer. You are the Lamb of God, yes?
I am.
Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You don't know who I am and the things I've done.
Don't be afraid, Simon.
I'm sorry. We've waited for you for so long, we believe. But my faith, I'm sorry.
Lift up your head, fisherman.
What do you want from me? Anything you ask, I will do.
Follow me.
I will.
Rabbi.
You as well. Yes, you, James and John. Come, follow me.
Take the fish into market and settle up Simon's debt. I'll get some help to fill both of these boats.
Are you sure?
Yes, go.
What will you tell Ima?
We've just been called by the man we prayed for our entire lives. And you ask me, what will I say when you miss supper? Go, now.
From now on, I will make you fishers of men. And you are to gather as many as possible, all kinds. I will sort them out later.
Are we willing to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, putting him first above everything? Or do we try to fit him into our agenda? I'll follow you, Jesus, if it works out for my schedule. If I don't have anything else to do, I'll follow you. You see, I don't think Jesus left any room for ifs in this call for us to follow him. And this is seen also in the call to Matthew. Let me read to you from chapter 9 of Matthew's account, verse 9. It says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, what? follow me. And he got up and followed him. Again, you see the same call to follow Jesus. And you see Matthew's immediate response. He left it all behind. I'm thinking about this. You have Matthew, and you have Zacchaeus, and you have the rich young ruler. These three men, they had everything that the world tells us is so necessary for us to have. They had money, they had position, they had power, they had authority, and yet, in the case of all three men, they were still looking for something more. What they had wasn't enough. What they had was not satisfying to them. They needed something more in their life, and Jesus was the one who offered to them that something more. The old saying is true. God created us with a vacuum in our hearts that only Jesus can fill. The world can't fill it, but Jesus can. And he is calling us to follow him. In this new year, will we follow him? Will we put him first above everything else? Will we go deeper with him in our commitment? And I think just like Peter, as we saw here in this video clip and what we read in the scriptures, if we will see his holiness, and if we are able then to see our own sinfulness, we will be inclined to say, Lord, I will follow you wherever you lead me. You want me to be pure? I'll follow you, Lord. You want me to love my neighbor? I'll follow you. You want me to forgive? I'll follow you. You want me to be a preacher or a missionary? I'll follow you wherever you lead. You want me to witness? I will follow you. You want me to tithe of my income, Lord? I will follow you. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I will follow you, because there is no one else like you. I want to ask you this week, if in your prayer time that you would spend some time just praying about this theme of sermons this year. Pray for me as I prepare those sermons, but also would you pray for yourself to be able to receive those sermons, and particularly to receive the challenge of following Jesus. Just, Lord, would you help me to follow you more deeply, to love you more intimately? And would you even be willing to fast and pray with me regarding our commitment to him, that it will be what he wants it to be, that our hearts will be open to his Holy Spirit in us? Could you imagine if a number of us would take that challenge and fast and pray as this new year is starting, and simply cry out to him, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you wherever you lead me. I want to be the person that you want me to be. Would you do a work in my heart? Would you grow me? Would you take me in the direction that you want me to go? If we will do our part in crying out to him and opening ourselves to him, he certainly is going to do his part. He will fill us to overflowing. He will grow us into his likeness. I really want you to take that challenge seriously. To pray, to fast and pray, that God would do a work in your life this year. Following Jesus is not easy. And for a moment, I want us to take a look at this banner theme that we will have for the year. We have it here. We have it on the screen behind me. As I was looking at this banner theme and praying over it here a couple of weeks ago, there were two things that came to my mind. And I feel like these are things that Jesus impressed upon me to share with you today. And first of all, it is a narrow road. This road of following Jesus is a narrow road. If you choose to follow Him, you will be in the minority, because most people are living outside of Jesus. Most people are on the wide road. And Jesus spoke of this in His Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." Note what Jesus said. He said, the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. And we need to know that. That if we choose to follow Jesus, that it is a road that is narrow. There's not a lot of people who are traveling this road. And it does cost us something to follow Him. But it is worth the cost. John spoke very straightforwardly about this fact that this road here, this narrow road, leads to life. He said in 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. What life is he talking about? I think he's talking about life here, the fulfilled life, but also eternal life. If we choose to walk this narrow road, it leads us to the most fulfilling life that God would have for us here on this earth. And it also leads us to eternal life. I'm sure you're familiar with this logo. It's the logo of this movie series, The Chosen. And you notice the fish that are in color, they're swimming against the current, aren't they? They're swimming against the majority. And that's the way it is if we choose to walk this road. We're choosing to walk a different road than most people around us are walking. If we choose to walk this narrow road, we are choosing to be transformed. That's what He wants to do in our life. He wants to transform our mind. Therefore, it just all filters down from there. If our minds are transformed, then our lives will be transformed. We should be living differently. We should be thinking differently. We should be having a different value system than what the world has. We should be spending our money differently than how the world spends it. You say, how so, Kevin? It's the fact that we are spending our money not just on ourselves, but we are spending our money on the kingdom of God. Because we realize it's what lasts forever. And we are helping others who are in need. Not just feeding ourselves, but we are helping others who are in need. I'm mindful of Clyde and Leona Brooker from years ago. And I wish Morrell and Rick Wisenhunt were here, because actually Clyde and Leona Brooker were Morrell's grandparents. And they're both gone now to be with Jesus, but they were people who followed this narrow road after Jesus. Clyde owned his own construction business, and he built those old concrete grain elevators all across the Midwest. I'm sure you've seen them in small towns across Kansas, right there in Fort Scott, and by the railroad track. If you look to the north, there is this huge, huge concrete elevator that's no longer in use. Clyde built that. His company built that. And those are the kinds of grain elevators that they built all across the Midwest. And he did quite well with his business. And for the longest time, he's telling me this years ago, telling me his testimony, that he was putting money away for retirement so that when retirement did come, they could travel the world for their own pleasure. But along the way, they came to Jesus. Clyde was involved in a work-related accident. He broke his back, and he laid in a hospital bed for a long, long time. This is years ago, back when they didn't just get you right up from surgery and put all kinds of metal in you and you're up and going. No, he laid in bed for a long, long time. And as he laid there, he wasn't one to just watch TV, and there weren't that many channels to watch anyway. And so, just to pass the time away, he began to pull that little Gideon Bible out of that dresser stand next to his bed, and he began to read that Bible. And the Word of God changed him. He decided that he needed Jesus in his life. And when Jesus came inside of him, he totally transformed Clyde's thinking. He got well eventually from his accident. And as he got out of the hospital and home and recovering, he began to go to church on Sundays. While there at church, he heard about the church taking a mission trip to Africa, and their plan was to build a church building and an orphanage. And Clyde's ears perked up. He thought, that's what I do, is build things. And so he volunteered to go on his first mission trip, and he said, if you need a foreman, I'll be the foreman for this project. You provide me with the workers, and I will build anything you want to have built. And as they were in the middle of that construction project, the guys who were supposed to do the preaching all got sick because of the food they were eating. And they came to Clyde and told him that he had to preach that night. You remember this story, Arch? I know Arch knows Clyde and Leona quite well. They said, Clyde, you all these other guys are sick. You got to preach. Well, that scared him to death. He could build buildings, but he had never preached a sermon in his life. And they really didn't even give him a choice to preach. They just said, you're on for tonight. And Clyde did preach. And I think he preached more than one night. And you know what? God used him. And the preaching touched not only their hearts, but his heart. And it got into him, if you know what I mean. The Word of God got into him as he was sharing it with others. And the winning of souls got in his blood, you might say. And all that money he had saved that he was going to use for retirement, his own pleasure in traveling, he did use it for travel. But not for his own pleasure. He and Leona began traveling the world for Jesus, doing mission trips, and Clyde would go and he would preach rather than build buildings. And I don't know how many mission trips they made to India and to the Philippines and to Haiti. And as they went, they took the gospel with them. And Clyde and Leona are the ones that got me so connected closely to India and to EK. Clyde was reaching a point in his age where he knew the time was coming that his health wouldn't let him go there anymore. And so he was now in the church that I was preaching at in Fort Scott. They were there for probably 10 to 15 years, the last 10 to 15 years of their life. And we had become connected quite close to each other. And he recruited me to go in his place. And he really didn't even give me a choice. He said, you're going. You're going to India. We need you to go to India. And that's how I met EK, was through Clyde. And now our church right here at Reinhardt supports EK and his ministry. Do you know what the people in India call Clyde and Leona? Even still to this day, they call them Mom and Dad Brooker, because they are the spiritual parents and grandparents of so many of the people over there. It was a narrow road that Clyde chose to travel. And when you choose that narrow road, it changes your life. And it can even change the eternal destiny of others around you. Not many people travel this narrow road. But Jesus is calling you, and he's calling me, to travel this narrow road. He's saying to us, follow me. And I hope that we'll take that challenge. And something else that I notice about this picture as I studied it and prayed over it, preparing this sermon to share with you on this first Sunday of the new year, not only is it a narrow road, but it is a winding road that you can't always see where you're going to end up. Sometimes a winding road can be kind of hard to travel. You think about some winding roads that you have driven down or walked on. They may take you over some hills and through some valleys, some turns this way and that way. Some of the turns may be gradual turns, but some of the turns maybe cause you to just slow down almost to a complete stop. And then you turn to the right or to the left. And it's not like you can see way far down the road and know where you're going to end up. No, maybe all the further you can see is that which is right there in front of you, because the road is taking such a sharp turn. You just can't see beyond that. And my point in saying all of this is simply this, that the road of following Jesus is a winding road, and you won't always be able to see what's way far out there ahead of you. You might be able to just see that which is right in front of you, and which means that you just have to trust Him. It's not an easy road. It's not a walk in the park. There are twists and turns and challenges along the way. There are plenty of temptations out there, and our enemy is there trying to knock us off of the road. And there are struggles, and there are chug holes that we have to maneuver around. And I'm thinking sometimes those chug holes are more than just little holes in the road. They're craters. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen some craters in your road? Have you seen some real hardship in your road? I was talking with a lady a couple of weeks ago that has been visiting our church some, and she told me her story of facing cancer in her life. And as she shared her story, I realized that that cancer came that close to getting her. But God worked a miracle in her life over the long haul. And it sounded to me like a very long and winding road that she had to travel, and one that she had to hold on to Him, sometimes by the skin of her teeth. But I think she would be the first to tell you today that He never let go of her. And her faith is stronger today than it's ever been. And she's got a testimony that brings glory to Him. When we're on this road that's winding, and even this pathway that you're seeing here that is for our banner, you can't hardly see what's around the corner. Just really a short distance in front of you, and you can't see the rest of the road. And that can be scary. That can be unsettling when we're on that kind of a road. We like to see what's way out there, don't we? It gives us comfort. It gives us peace of mind. But when we're on this road that you can't see what's around the next corner, that can be scary. It can be unsettling. I think we'll find, though, that He is the only solid rock that we can hold on to. He is faithful. He will not let go of us. We just need to trust Him and never let go of Him. And He is able to help us through those struggles that we are facing, and He's able to grow us through those struggles. I'm thinking too, sometimes, see, to this point, as I've talked about this road being a winding road, I've just implied that there's chug holes in the road along the way, and there's twists and turns, and that's just how life is. But sometimes those twists and turns come because of our faith. Think about that. Sometimes those struggles come because of our faith. And John, whom we just read his writing in Revelation, we know of the struggles that was going on in Christians' lives during that time frame. It was hard for them, and it was often hard for them because of their faith. Because we choose to follow Jesus, the world attacks us. The world mocks us. The world is uncomfortable with us. And so, because they're uncomfortable with us, they lash out at us and against us. And in those times, too, we hold on to Him, because that's really all we can do. If we draw near to Him, what? He will draw near to us. He will carry us through this long, winding path that we are on. And ultimately, we'll find that the path leads to heaven, and it will be so worth it all. Will you choose to follow Him? Let's pray together. Would you just take a moment and pray about that challenge? Would you say, Lord, I want to follow You. Would You help me? Lord, as these prayers are being prayed today, and I'm hoping that there will be people who aren't here today that would listen to this sermon online, and they would receive this same challenge at this very first Sunday of the new year, that we together as a church family would take this challenge on to follow Jesus wherever He leads us. That He would be first. That we would lay aside all the ifs and the ands and the buts and just follow Him and see where that leads us. It will be such a delightful journey, sometimes hard, but always worth the cost. And Lord, we need You desperately. In Jesus' name, amen.